This is an interview with Nova Scotia writer E. Alex Pierce, produced for South Coast Today at Harbortone Productions in Shelburne, Nova Scotia.
So, Alex, we've got a bit of ground to cover here today, but I first wanted to ask you, how is it that you came to a title of Landscapes and Memory for these workshops?
I love that combination of words, landscape together with memory. And actually, I've seen it used before, but in a longer title, so I borrowed it. I think that my own writing is very much based on the landscape that I live in, or the landscape I like best to live in, which is Shelburne County, East Sable River. And I think that all writing really depends on memory. And it struck me that those two words together, landscape and memory, which really inform my work, would be a wonderful place for people to start who are coming to writing, who want to learn to trust their voice. They all have a landscape and they all have a memory. So they can't go wrong.
Well, it sounds like you're covering a lot of territory there. Maybe you could say a little bit about how you came to deciding that you wanted to move your writing career into the place of giving workshops.
Oh, for the last 10 years, I taught creative writing and composition, expository writing at Cape Breton University. I've been giving workshops probably since I was 25 and a half, but, you know, in those days in theater and movement and so on. The writing workshop is a way to learn about writing. It's a well-known form. And really, I wanted to do more with creative writing at Cape Breton U, and when I decided to return here and live here, and as they say, write full time, hardly anybody gets to do that, but you know, that I should start offering what I know how to do to the people around me, and you know, start earning my living that way.
Tell us who you think might be the ideal person or persons to take this workshop.
I imagine a range of people, from people who have perhaps been writing a long time and want something to regenerate their interest in it, to let them start again or rethink what they're already doing. I see this also. I'm accepting all levels for this workshop. I see the person who keeps saying they want to write and doesn't make the time for themselves that they need to do that. They'll have weekly assignments. They'll come every Saturday for 6 weeks, and that will give them a structure. So that person who is really wants to, and isn't doing it. I see people who have tried writing a few times and then given up, and actually people who would be called emerging writers who may have even started sending out work for publication. I don't know why that is. It might be the chaos in which I grew up, but I can handle a wide range of people in one room when that's what I'm doing. And that's the context of this workshop. It should be for anybody who says, wow, that's interesting, I think I want to try it. I can make that work.
It sounds like it's going to be quite a dynamic environment, and I noticed in the promotion for the workshop that you have five elements that you say that you're going to lead the participants through, and I'd like if you could to speak a little bit to each of the elements. One of them says that the participants are going to explore the lyric, dramatic, and narrative voice. Can you say a little bit about that?
Absolutely. That's the basis of how I think this workshop will work. I learned teaching creative writing for 10 years. I was in a situation where I was teaching playwriting, which was supposed to be dramatic voice, and I learned really quickly that people come with a natural voice. They're either more narrative, most of us are, they're the storytelling type. You know, we grow up with it here. I went out and I had the chalk and I got down the side of the road and then the buck came over the hill and the next thing I knew, you know, it's that narrative thing with a bit of drama thrown in. Then there's the voice that dramatizes the other. They can kind of imitate the old man or the whiny sister or whatever it is. They have a gift for sort of imitating a voice, and that's what I'd call dramatic, or seeing the dramatic situation. And then there's the more lyric person, the person that may be a songwriter that tends to come out in sort of either quasi-rhyme or has an image, or says, you know, that's so beautiful, the frost was on the vine this morning, and they tend to speak in a kind of song-like way. So that's your lyric song, your narrative storytelling, and your dramatic. Ramping up a situation, making it high-pitched in order to get your point across, and having a gift for character.
So you say also that that people are going to work in the corresponding genre of poetry and playwriting, fiction and creative nonfiction. Having all of those genre in one workshop, does that seem to stimulate the capacity of the people in the workshop to push their writing forward?
I think it will. I really do. And again, I learned that from experience, that if I tried to teach only playwriting to people who were beginning, who were just finding their voices, then I was pushing them into a channel that they might not really fit in. So you just spoke about having all three together, right? So the lyric voice is the poetry. The narrative voice is fiction and creative nonfiction, telling a story, remembering events, holding them together. And the dramatic voice, the character and the high drama situation, is the playwright. And having them all together, now I've never done this consciously. Like, I've brought those other voices in when I was teaching one of the genres. And this is the first time that I've said, all right, I'm going to just openly do all three together and see if that will strengthen, say that a person who tends to write fiction, say that their passages of description are really dull. Well, won't the lyric voice enhance that?
So in some respects, this is a way that you're formalizing a system that, without preconceiving it, you've already done in your teaching that you were doing at CBU and other places.
Yes, it is. I think that when I teach, I need to be excited about it. And I'm excited about it because I, as you say, have never formalized this in just this way. So I should be, and I am, at sort of the edge of it. Okay, I want to try this. How will it work? And I already know, you know, I know my areas and how to do it, but putting them all together in one room with people of different levels is something that will be new for me.
In the promotional sheet that was produced for the workshops, you mentioned that you're going to encourage people, maybe even insist that people write in the voice and the form that suit them best. And it sounds as though that what you've been talking about so far is one way to lead people to finding that voice. You also mentioned that writers are likely to attempt or to succeed in finding their inner voice and deepening it using writing modes that are less familiar with them. Say a little bit about how that works.
All right. For one thing, when I teach creative work, we have periods, whenever I think it's the right time during a workshop, of free writing. And people can just write and then share as much of that as they want. Now, that's one area where you begin to say what you really want to say without any fear of criticism, because that work can be shared or not shared. That's kind of one layer. Then I think it almost helps to start to identify really the way you talk to yourself in your own head. I mean, that's what writing eventually comes from, or it doesn't eventually come from. That's what writing really starts as, and then it comes out on the page. So if a person starts to say, wow, I really do have a voice, and I think my voice might be more lyric than narrative, I mean, it doesn't hurt to have some categories. I don't know if that's answering exactly what you asked. But I have indeed said that I'm a good taker-carer in a workshop. I want people to write well and be comfortable and, you know, be pushed enough to maybe make a breakthrough or a change, but I want them to go away with a lot of good work that they've written. So if I feel and the person feels, look, Alex, I really, really want to write fiction, I don't really want to write playwriting, well, I'll give them exercises that have to do with character that they can use in their fiction. But I won't push them to write in the form of playwriting if they really want to write fiction. So I'm thinking of the type of work, like, you know, I didn't put on a workshop in just poetry because I didn't think there'd be enough people. Poetry's scary. But if you read good fiction, you'll say, oh my God, this passage is really poetic writing. And if that person in my workshop, you know, on the next Saturday has an assignment to write a poem, that poem may help to develop what they're really going to do in their fiction.
I think immediately of some of the passages in Moby Dick, and I'm thinking specifically of Melville when he got into describing white and whiteness, and I think certainly in that novel he wasn't trying to be a poet, but I think that he probably found himself in that place that you're talking about writing poetically about something that he was struggling with.
I'm going to go home and look up that passage, and I'm bringing it to the first workshop.
It's an amazing
yeah, passage. That's a wonderful suggestion.
So, obviously, the voice, finding one's voice, is critical to the method that you use in teaching. And I notice that you also plan on pushing people, encouraging people to write new work during the course of the workshop, but also to read work of others and to respond to the work of contemporary writers. Tell us if you can. Do you have any writers in mind that you think people might?
Well, while you were coming up with the Moby Dick with Melville and the whiteness, I was thinking, of course, of passages of Michael Ondaatje or Anne Michaels, both of them poets who eventually wrote fiction. I'm compiling work that I think is going to be interesting, and I'll find out. Like, I'll have a handout for every workshop, and I'll have examples of really strong narrative and examples like the one you gave of more poetic narrative. I'll have passages from, say, Danny McIver in his almost all monologue-based plays that he writes. As a playwright, he uses direct address to the audience all the time, and I know his work well, and I've studied it, and I've worked with it, and I'm telling you, I'm just brimming over with it. So I'll have those kind of examples, and I'll get people in the class to read them. And, there will be some fireworks.
Well, it sounds to me as though with 6 weeks at 2.5 hours apiece, this workshop is going to be jam-packed with a lot of stuff that local writers can take home and use to improve their craft and maybe even find a new voice for themselves. I appreciate you taking the time to come in and talk to us today. And I'm before I end the session, I'm going to head into something a little personal. I found out about this place, Shelburne, having met you some 30-odd years ago at a workshop that we were both at, and having more to do with theater than it did writing, and I remember you telling me about this bucolic place you grew up in, and telling me at the time that your mother was the owner and editor of the Coast Guard newspaper here, and I subsequently met your mom, and we had some affectionate meetings. And tell me, if you can, how you feel that your mother affected your having chosen writing as the work that you do.
You know, that's interesting, because you and I met in 1979, and I think at that time Mom was the editor of the Coast Guard. That would be right around the time. I'd forgotten that. I was thinking about her particularly today, because it's my dad's birthday. I have this poem. It'll make sense in a minute. I have this poem. It starts, "My mother spouted lines as if they were her own. Shall I compare thee, she might say? Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?" She would run around the kitchen or the backyard and say stuff like that, and I had no more idea that that was Shakespeare than Flight of the Moon. I had no clue. It was only later I thought, oh my God. You know, she was so dramatic, chaotic, alive. She was teaching the Scottish play, otherwise known as Macbeth, that one summer. And she'd go around, you know, with her hand up, "All the perfumes of Araby shall not I don't know, take the blood from this little hand. And we kids, I mean, out damn spot, we would laugh, we would kill ourselves because, you know, your mother says damned or something. And that was her. I mean, she was the writer in the family. She was the dramatic one. I had absolutely no idea. I see how I got from music into theater. But I really didn't expect to put words on a page and write. And yet when I did start to write, which synchronistically, tragically, whatever you can call it, was just about the time she had a stroke and, you know, writing would be no more for her. I went from the outward energy of theater to the inward energy of writing. And when I started to write, I found her everywhere I looked. I mean, all the things she had read to us, the way that writing was so alive in her. I was never scared of Shakespeare. I thought Shakespeare was just a great guy because she was like that. So that's the...
Well, that's a great base that your mom gave you for finding your own voice. And I have to say that this workshop looks like it's going to be a terrific workshop, and I'm led to believe that it is likely to be the first of many that you do here.
I sure hope so.
Over the next few years. So thank you very much for coming in and taking the time today. And... this is E. Alex Pierce with us today. She's giving a writing workshop sponsored by the Writers Federation of Nova Scotia. The workshop is called Landscape and Memory, Finding the Inner Voice. And the workshop runs February 5th through March 12th, every Saturday from 11 to 1:30. And you can register for the workshop by calling 902-423-8116. For more information about the workshop, you can also go online to www.shelburnenovascotia.com/landscape. Thank you very much.
This interview was recorded by Alex Buchanan at Harbortone Productions in Shelburne, Nova Scotia.